can put me on airplane mode. And you watching that, you know what time it is. Welcome to the Tuesday Night Flights, presented by the Sideline Junkies and Clear Production Sports. Myself, I'm the boss, BJ, over here. That's the big guy, KG. And we're no April Fools, but it is April 2nd, 2024. And thank you for joining us tonight. Big guy, our host, the show host. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Loving this weather, I guess, is rainy, it's cold, it's wet. This is good old football weather, I tell you that. So
football weather for us 30 years ago, maybe 25.
Yes, because
not now.
Explain that. I'm paying for the price for working outside 2 days in a row. So I'm paying the price.
Yeah. I miss it, but I'm glad I'm not there anymore. Cause the Advil and the Tylenol in my liver is probably crying. Like, thank you for stopping.
Oh man! First and foremost, for those that are watching on the videos, down below scrolling is our Fort Mose discount link. That's www.buybuyfortmose.com. /discount/maniacs, get $10 off your purchase. Go check it out. Get yourself a tasty beverage because we got championship games coming up. We'll talk about those later, but you know, we got the Final Four and we got the championship games coming up. So you might want to have something nice to sip on. And for you smokers, get you a good stick with a good rye. See what you can do, baby.
I'm about to pull out my sticks in a minute.
See?
I had to go re-up. So you know, it's an off day for me. It's time to kick back and relax.
Come on.
But not before we die. Hey! How are you? Are you doing good?
Are you being good?
Are you doing good?
I'm doing good.
I'm good.
Are you being good?
I'm being good.
That's all I need to hear.
You gonna stay for the show?
It's a show.
She can run the board.
No.
Come on.
No.
I got work to do. Come back when you.
She don't want to run the board. Jeez, I'm trying to start them early.
Yeah.
Start them early so by 5 or 6 she's disassembling laptops. You know, calling people like your check engine light on your laptop. You need this.
That's how we got to do. We start the interns early around here. So
yeah. Well, that's a whole nother phone call. Child labor laws.
Yeah,
you don't want to hear it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a whole nother phone call.
We got a Maddie Ice say OMG adorable. Yeah, that's a middle grand baby. That's middle grand baby. So that's my meatloaf there. That's my singing partner. We got to start this thing off on a somber note. Former Dolphin, Colt, and Bill, Vontae Davis, DC native, graduated Dunbar High School in DC. Passed away yesterday. He was found dead by his grandmother at home yesterday. If you remember, we did a couple of pieces on it about him retiring abruptly during the game. He took his pads off at halftime, was like, I'm done, and walked out. We talked about it, and we said it then. We'll say it again. You don't know what nobody's going through. from, he got married in 2015 to his girlfriend, Megan Hart. From September 2019 until his passing, he was the CEO of a holistic wellness spa that opened the following October in Fort Lauderdale, Maryland. I'm sorry, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. To put this any way I can, 35 years old, not suspected of foul play or anything like that. We just say rest in peace, boss.
Not too many more words to add to that, man. It's just life cut way too short. And just check on people, man. Everybody's busy. You know, your childhood friends are adults now. Everybody has their own things they have going on. But sometimes a simple text message from somebody that you know replies immediately and you don't get that reply, or a call back. You might know something's off or wrong. Somebody might be going through something. Just check on people. Check on people. Try to be nice to people. And like everybody always say, you never know. Big guy just say, you never know what anybody's going through. Just, you know, sending prayers to his family. Gone way too soon, man. Way too soon. I can't imagine. 35 is just way too soon. So rest in peace to Vontae Davis.
We have covered a lot of deaths on this show over the last 6 years. And, you know, dying is a part of living. I get that. It's just that you don't, you want to see people live till a ripe old age. You don't want to be saying rest in peace to people that are 35 years old and things like that. But a death shouldn't let you know that life is short. You should know every day that life is short. So, on a brighter note, 40 years ago today, you know what happened 40 years ago today, brother?
Only thing I know happened 40 years ago today reminds me I'm old. Because I can't say, oh, I wasn't born. But yeah,
it's kind of fun because you think 40 years ago, you think in the 50s. So
you do. You think black and white TVs, but it's not. It's not that. No, I know what happened 40 years ago today. I want you to elaborate, and I got some tidbits to add to it. So,
okay. 40 years ago today, none other than the great John Thompson Jr., Big John as we called him, took his team through the Final Four and won Georgetown's first and, as of now, only championship 40 years ago today down in Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken, at the Superdome. I think that's what the championship game was.
Seattle Kingdome.
Oh, it was Seattle. Okay. Seattle. Mm-hmm. I'm all off.
Now, you good. Hey, 40 years ago. It's okay. The cobwebs in that part of the brain, you're wiping them out. You got your machete going through the woods. You good.
So, it was in his book, he talked about not staying in the area that the game was played. He talked about not staying in the area and taking his team, you know, miles away to stay at hotels so the media couldn't get to him and they could focus.
That was a staple of him.
Yeah. To say this team was the number one overall team. Number two overall team at the end of the season. They were 34-3. They lost to, DuPaul and Villanova by 2 points each and 4 points to St. John's. Patrick Ewing was absolute beast. He was MOP of the tournament. Hey, yes, Midnight Rider. That's Meatloaf. Of course, you know Meatloaf. That is Meatloaf. She didn't see the Midnight Rider, so she ran off. You had some talent on this team, and there was a lot of local talent too. You had Gene Smith out of McKinley Tech. Bill Martin out of McKinley Tech. I guess you could say Reston is it's local.
Reston. We keep adding to the DMV. No.
You had two. I knew about Reggie Williams and David Wingate from the time I was a kid. My uncle used to tell me about them up at Dunbar in Baltimore and how those boys bad. You had Reggie Williams, David Wingate, Reggie Lewis, Muggsy Bogues. The post is bad. So you had two of those guys. You had Michael Graham from Spingarn. Huh. Ralph Dalton was from Suitland. But you had a team that was built to win because these guys won every year. But they came short in 82, won in the 84, and came short in 85. But this team was built to win. What you got, B?
A couple of tidbits about the 84 championship game. And this is going to, like, the second point, I need confirmation of this because I cannot be this old. The first point is there was no three-point arc in the 84 champion or 84 NCAA period. Only 53 teams were in the NCAA tourney. In the first 45 winners, there were no black coach in the championship game. John Thompson broke that barrier and won it. So he broke a couple barriers doing that in 84. Here's the one that it's just like, this cannot be. I cannot be that old that in 1984, there was no shot clock. Can somebody verify that? No, that's not. No. No,
in college basketball, there was no shot clock.
84?
84. That's how Villanova won in 85. They played stall ball.
So you're telling me, all right, so hold on. This is what I'm hearing, that I need to go to CVS and get my fiber. This is what you're telling me. I need fiber gummies, my Metamucil, bone support. You telling me I thought we were more I thought it was more towards 79 or 80. I didn't know it went. I just need a minute. You're on mute.
College basketball. That's why when we bring up college stats, especially Pistol Pete averaging and scoring all those points. He did it without a 3-point line. And they adjusted it.
Which is amazing.
They adjusted and said he would have averaged over 60 if there was a 3-point line because he was a sharpshooter, long range bomb.
That is crazy.
But now you think about it with no shot clock. This is where Dean Smith was a genius because when it got late in games, Gene Smith would call. I'm sorry. Dean Smith would call four corners. And when he called four corners, you know, everybody on the corner put the big man at the top. And he just rotating to each side of the paint. And all you're doing is passing the ball around. It's nothing you can do. They'll hold the ball. No shot clock. Mm. I can hold the ball for a whole entire quarter. Think about this. With no shot clock, if I'm not mistaken, if I read this right, they held Kentucky in the Final Four. They held Kentucky to 2 points in the second half. 2 points. They said nobody has ever put on a defensive effort like Georgetown did in 84 in the Final Four ever. They held them to 2 points and clamped down on defense. And they had Twin Towers and Sam Bowie and Mel Turpin. Now, if you're not familiar with Sam Bowie was a vicious college player, never panned out in the NBA due to injury. He had some flashes, but he never really panned out due to injury. If you know Mel Turpin, he was known as Dinner Bell Mel because his weight ballooned up, but he was still a solid big man. But what are you laughing at, man?
That nickname, it just caught me off guard a little bit. Yeah.
Him, what was it, Pig Miller? Oliver, that was Oliver Miller, was Pig Miller. God, what was my man name? Used to play with the Bullets. You had John Hot Rod Williams with the Cavs. And you had John Hot Plate Williams with the Bullets. Both of them named John Williams. And I think they were born the same day, like 2 years apart. But Hot Plate, they called him Hot Plate at first because the boy used to get hot. And Then it got hot plate because the boy like to eat. But you think about this Georgetown team. We talked about our top three all-time championship teams. I think I left Georgetown off my list, not because I didn't want to be a homer. I had to take this and look at this differently. So I didn't want to be a homer.
I was a homer.
But, you know, I'm always a homer. You're absolutely right, Midnight Rider, hot plate. And here's the thing. This Georgetown team was probably one of the greatest teams. I'm talking about this run of from 82 to 85. They made three Final Fours and three championship games. I don't know what else to say about them.
A great run, man. There's nothing else to say about it. A really great run. You know, of course, locally, you wish they would have at least got two of those championships, you know, yeah. 85 one maybe. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, Coach Big John, you know, he did his thing and he put them on the map and, you know, made it a school to be reckoned with. And it's, you know, it's a definitely, I think that's why it hurts so bad where they are now.
Yes.
Where they are now. And it's just like, it's like a free fall. It's no end. It's no end to the pit. So
let me ask you this one. A lot of people from around the country have said this. I've watched, you know, everybody talk about Hoyer paranoia and things like that. People thought Georgetown was a HBCU. Did you think that growing up?
No.
I didn't know what HBCU was until I got older, but.
Nah, I didn't either. But I knew Georgetown wasn't an HBCU. I kind of knew some of the differences probably when I got, like 11, 12 ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
Started watching the Bayou Classic and I was like, why is Grambling? Grambling was undefeated one year. And I was like, why are they not ranked in the top 25?
Exactly. Yeah. That's when you start kind of like, you know, getting into it and you're trying to figure out why they're not here. And then you're like, oh, okay, this is why. And yeah.
And then on top of that, you had people, and this is a beautiful thing, because if you watched music videos when we were growing up and you saw a Georgetown starter jacket, it made you feel proud. Because you seen a local school getting shine. You see basketball move, especially like Above the Rim, He Got Game. Think of any basketball movie from the early 90s on, and you see John Thompson in there. You see Georgetown. Kyle from Above the Rim went to Georgetown. Like, I felt so proud that he chose to come to Georgetown.
You know what happened if you wear a Georgetown starter jacket outside? What was that movie when my man came outside? Got out of jail. He had his pimp stuff on.
I'm gonna get you something.
And they were chasing him because he was out of date. But you go outside in Georgetown jacket now. You're gonna get teased and chased down. Your shoe with deficient. It's gonna break. You're gonna have to hide around the corner. You're gonna take some fire when you go outside in a Georgetown jacket.
That is true. That is true. But hey. That team put together a couple names that I didn't mention off that team. Let me make sure I got everybody. Of course, Fred Brown. First person that John Thompson hugged after that buzzer went off was Fred Brown. Because what happened in 82, him throwing the ball to Worthy, he hugged him after that, and then he hugged him in celebration after that 84 championship. So Fred Brown, Gene Smith, Bill Martin, Michael Jackson, Horace Broadnax, Patrick Ewing, Reggie Williams, David Wingate, Clinton Dosso, Michael Graham, Ralph Dalton, and Victor Morris 40 years ago today. I don't even know if they were doing it then, but hey. One shining moment played, Georgetown won the championship. I hope we can get back to those glory days soon.
Hoyas win it. The Hoyas win it. The Hoyas win it. The Hoyas win it.
Hey, you know what? I lie to you now. It don't matter what the Hoyas record is. When they win, and I get that from Rich Votkin, if I get 7 to 9 of them, I know it was a good win. But it was one night he gave me 19 straight. And I was like, I am in love with this. I love when I hear Rich Votkin. You give me 19 straight, I'm great. Sticking with college basketball, we haven't talked too much about it, but the NIT is in their Final Four as well. Indiana State is tied with Utah at 44 at halftime. What they call him, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, has 15 points on 6 of 8 shooting. Kent for Indiana State has 6 rebounds. Utah look like they get ready to get ran out of the gym, but they're fighting. They're fighting and clawing, so we'll see how that goes. The other game that's on the other side will be tonight at 9:30 to determine who goes to the championship, which will be Thursday. Number one, Seton Hall versus Georgia. So I'm not even sure what channel that's on, so I can't tell you where to tune in. So, sorry.
I'm looking at ESPN2 for Seton Hall in Georgia, and the Indiana State-Utah game is supposed to be on ESPN.
Okay.
I got you, brother. I got you.
Now, switching over to the NCAA tournament, which is, you know, the big dance, if you will. We're down to our Final Four. And let me go back to, where's my bracket here? Where's my bracket? Let me back up and get this bracket up. We got the Midnight Rider. I hit him up and I said, dude, we got one here. You got a number 11 seed there. You know what that means, right, brother?
Tell me what it means. Mm.
Got to be careful with that. Give you a little bit. That's the Deborah Cox team. It's NC State, baby. Look, we don't own none of the rights to the music. But I had to put that out there. NC State knocked off Duke 76-64 in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four.
Can I just say something for a minute?
Sure.
This has been a hell of a weekend. Like, y'all know I'm a Terps fan, and old ACC foes fall out of the sky and land and hit hard. I love it. North Carolina first. I was watching the North Carolina-Alabama game. Greg Nelson is my new favorite player. And then to watch I cannot explain to you the hatred I have for the Duke Blue Devils. And anytime they lose, it's magical. So I just wanted to express that, and I'm good.
I'm not.
Hey, Midnight Rider, do we put some money on NC State?
That's a good question. I say yes.
I mean, I know we're not sponsored, but I can log into MGM and throw some money on it real quick. I'm just saying, you know.
This right here, this Final Four is going to be a bomb burner. It's not chalk. Okay, you got two number one teams. You got number one Purdue versus NC State, number 11 NC State. That's Saturday at 6:09. That late game is number one UConn versus number four Alabama. This ain't chalk, but this is going to be a damn good game.
You think so?
I think those are going to be two good games.
I think UConn is going to be too much for Bama.
I think so. I got UConn winning it all.
Yeah, and then on the other side, I'm pulling for NC State. I think NC State has the momentum to at least get to the championship game. Now, if they can handle UConn, that's something different. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting Final Four, to say the least.
Here's the thing. When we were doing our picks, I said something about NC State. I said, I don't know how far they can take it, because they came to DC and they won 5 straight games, won the ACC tournament.
They more won than nine more home winning games than the Washington Wizards, the pro team that plays at that stadium, that arena.
That's true. Now they ran it up to 9 straight. Like, they were on the bubble until they won that conference championship. And here we go. Here we are talking Final Four. We're talking this ACC champion, NC State. And every they keep showing from what was that, 83 NC State, Jimmy Valvano and those guys, Thurl Bailey, Bladensburg alum, Lorenzo Charles, all those guys, right? Derek Wittenberg. You had guys from DeMatha and things like that. Their motto was survive and advance. That's it. If NC State pulls this off and goes to the championship game, I'm pushing all my chips to the center of the table. I can't take my pick back, but if they play UConn, I have them beating UConn. That's how confident I am in this NC State team. But they got to get past Purdue first.
So I am not friend of the show, Paul. I believe his father played with Bailey. You know, Big Paul. Yeah, you know, Big Paul was a baller until he hurt his knee.
Have you seen what Paul can do? Like Paul was a shooter. you could tell it's in the genes.
Yeah, Big Paul was a baller. Matter of fact, that let me put a pin in that. Because that's two people I would like to have on the show.
Would love to do that. It's been quite some time since I talked to Paul. And I would love to talk to him. Anyway, but this NC State team, I don't know. It just seems like they got something that they rolling with. And it's good. Hold on. Maddie Ice said, this State team seems to have the same mojo as the one that beat Five Slamma Jamma. Yep, survive in advance. And the thing is, even when they get down, they don't get rattled. They don't panic. They just say, all right, let's chip away at it. Let's get back at it.
It's a whole different animal when you come in and you're not supposed to be there. Hmm. There are no expectations on you. The heavy weight is on Purdue. They're number one. They can't lose. Exactly. They're not supposed to lose. That weight isn't on NC State. So you come in, and a lot of times that's where you're losing the game, is that when they have that run and that number one team or the higher rank starts to panic. And like, oh, my God, we're not supposed to be losing this. What do we do? And by the time they kind of snap out of it, that lead, that momentum is just too much. Place the bet, you said? NC State? Got you. Okay.
I may have to do the same. So you heard it here first, folks. Take whatever coins you got and put it on
NC State. This is not betting advice. But throw it on NC State, though.
Nah, this financial advice. What are you raising your hand for? You too young to bet. Of course he say put it on Purdue because he picked Purdue to win. You pick UNC in one and Northwestern in the other, and you fell down the rankings.
Come on, FanDuel. Now, I don't have time for this.
Moving over to the women's side.
Man, was we – I think the men – I'm speaking for the men, right? I think he said the same thing I had said. I thought LSU was going to handle Iowa.
I knew they weren't. Okay. I knew they weren't. And I'm going to tell you why I feel that they weren't. Not because of it being a revenge game for Caitlin Clark. Here's the problem. You're asking LSU to go in there and – beat Iowa, and Iowa's been on fire all year. I kind of figured that this wasn't going to happen. This wasn't going to go down the way you thought it was. And they beat them by 7. Angel Reese fouled out. They beat them by 7. And a lot of people think that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark don't get along. And they both said the same thing. When we in between them lines, it's no friendship.
It shouldn't be.
Once we leave off the court, oh, we'll hang out all day long. And here's the thing. They did that last year. When they were playing the championship game, everybody thought that they had a problem with each other. No, they actually hung out together and spent time together. Spent a lot of time together. So I need everybody to kill that notion. Kill all that, man. Stop trying to pit them against each other and take this for what it is, because these two ladies right here are going to be, if Angel Reese hits the draft, I think Caitlin Clark is going to hit the WNBA draft. If Angel Reese hits the draft, somehow, some way, it's going to work out where she's on one side, Caitlin Clark's on the other, and this is going to be your Magic and Bird moment.
You think it's going to work out that way?
Of really? Course it is.
No.
Let me give you an example. Larry Bird was not drafted in 1979. Larry Bird was drafted in 1978. They held on to his draft rights. When the Lakers got Magic number one, they already had Bird in the pocket before that night and had him sign his contract. Think about the 85 lottery. Ewing's going to be your top pick. What happened? Oh, they accidentally bent the New York Knicks card. So when it got turned around, you knew, oh, this is the Knicks card. The Knicks get the number one overall pick. You have to have a superstar in your Mecca. Who's your superstar? None other than Patrick Aloysius Ewing. And yes, that's his real name.
A lot of conspiracy stuff going on here, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. That lick was diabolical. I just want to let you know. We caught that on camera.
That's okay. She just gave me a piece of rib.
No. I didn't know what you were going for at first. I'm just letting you know. Okay.
And that thing just melted. Oh, my God. Whoo, Lord. Every time I lose weight, this woman get in the kitchen and start cooking. And I just, the weight be like, hey, my old friend, how are you?
Come on back in this. Come on back, sit on the sofa. But come on back down here.
I really believe that's what's going on. You know, we talk about visibility in the WNBA. I believe that Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, when Juju's up, what's the girl from Connecticut? What's her name? Buckers. When she's up, I think she's coming out this year. She's one of the highest IQ ladies.
But why come out? Why come out if you can stay and get more NIL money? Why come out?
That's true. But
why come out? And then I don't think they're. Say it again.
You can get more money and bring more. You can get more money coming out. You don't have to be handcuffed to the NIL deal, so you can make more money. You can work with more sponsors.
No. These particular women control what NIL deal they're signing. They want it 1 year. They want it however they want it, because these brands are going to want to be associated with them. So they control that narrative. This isn't somebody looking for NIL. These are going to be women that are people at their feet, and they can pick what they want. And these people, you know, that's going to be offering them NIL deals know the deal that they might be in school for one more year. Here's the thing about them going to the league. They're going to be the ones, and I think a lot of people firmly believe this, whether you think it's Magic or Bird or whatever, that transcends this league to the next level and gets the butts in the seats, gets the viewership. But until that happens, there's no money there. You're still getting whatever salary the WNBA offers. I think you're talking about a 2 to 5 year transition. Like if they come in there and it's as advertised, it'll almost be instant, but you still have to play that wait and see game. And then you still have to remember, you just can't, you know, okay, here's, you know, 700,000. You gotta, you know, still do the whatever CBA and rules they have to go through to get things changed. So it's a process. But, you know, right now you can make the money in college with the NIL deal. And, you know, then you're talking about Caitlin Clark adding to the scoring title numbers, you know. So it's a lot of things there. If I'm them, if I get a good deal based on what the WNBA is paying, I'm staying in school.
But see, what happens when your eligibility is up? You got to come out. This
is why we need our brain, Pinky and the Brain. We need the brain, Midnight Rider, because he could tell us more about if they're eligible. Now I know he's listening, trying to rule the world.
Matty Ice, that game last night was great. The ratings were high than most college football games. WNBA better market them right. And you know what? When it comes to marketing the WNBA, Big Jim has some of the greatest ideas. This is stuff he was talking about 5.5, 6 years ago on how to market the NBA. Number one.
WNBA?
I'm sorry, the WNBA.
Okay. I'm
all over the place. I apologize.
No, you're good.
I got an idea. And if I'm going to send this to Big Jim. And if I get his stamp of approval, I'm going to send it to the WNBA. If you remember back in the day, their motto was, we got next.
Yeah.
If Caitlin Clark, all the ladies is coming out, Caitlin Clark, if Angel Reese comes out, if Flujay Johnson comes out, everybody, they all come out. You have Cheryl Swoops, Rebecca Lobo, Cynthia Cooper, Lisa Leslie. Give me some more big names.
Lobo.
I had Lobo. See the big name for me.
Hose Claw.
Hose Claw. You got to get
Shamik. Candace Parker.
You have them standing there. And, well, no, you use the original ladies. So you got to take off Candace Parker. Got to take off Shamik Hose Claw. But you have the original ladies from the We Got Next campaign. And you have them standing there. And you have them pass the ball to the new generation. And say, y'all got next. And then you start showing those games on ESPN2. Start out with ESPN2. Start out with, you know, ABC. Because ESPN, ABC, same thing. You know, get the TV deal where they're more visible. And then you have the sponsorships in there. Because they're already wearing sponsorships on the jersey. Mm-hmm. You have the sponsorships there, but you got to get the eyes on them. And Ben says something. 12.3 million viewers. Imagine if you had that for one WNBA game in a season. You get the eyes on the league. That's all you got to do. But you got to give them the matchups. Everybody say, oh, it's a bad product. No, it's really not. I sat down last season and watched 4 or 5 games in a row. And they were all good. And to those people that say, well, how shitty was the league? Pardon my French. Back in when Magic and Bird came in, that they had to save the league. Well, Dr. J kept it relevant. They came Absolutely. In and they saved it because it was on the brink. They were showing games on tape delay. The NBA Finals on tape delay.
Yep.
You have to have two, sometimes polar opposites. But two people that can carry a lead.
It's a big dynamic in that. I'm not going to say it. We'll talk about it off air but it's a huge dynamic. What that rivalry was and what Magic and Bird's rivalry was, unfortunately. And unfortunately, controversy creates cash.
Exactly. Magic and Bird, let me rephrase that. When Dr. J came over from the ABA, he revived the league. Magic and Bird saved it. Jordan made it mobile. LeBron made it global. That's how it goes.
I think MJ made it global.
Well, that's what David Stern said. That was David Stern, the late, great David Stern's
Because if you remember the 92 Dream Team, they were rock stars.
Yes.
When they went to Barcelona. So I think you got to give the global part to, you know, and then we're leaving out Kobe. True. You know, and don't get me wrong. Like, this is a whole nother discussion for a whole nother show, you know, where I need probably both earbuds to really dive into this. But. Yeah, we'll stay with that.
Okay.
We get we agree that MJ and then LeBron are both responsible for the league in a certain way. We just don't, maybe, you know, not on the same page.
Got you. The women's Final Four, you have number 3 NC State versus number 1 South Carolina. That is Friday at 7 p.m. Number 3 UConn versus number 1 Iowa, which is Friday at 9:30 to determine who plays in the championship.
Can I shoot something real quick? They are saying that when Iowa beat LSU, it's a revenge game. And I completely disagree. You can't get your revenge until you raise that trophy. Because last year was for the title game. You beat them, cool, but you still got work to do. You still got 2 more games to win a title. That's what it's about. We're not playing to exact revenge on a championship game unless it's another championship game. If they met and it's a championship game for all the marbles, cool. But this can't be a revenge. Oh, my God, they got their revenge. No, they didn't, because LSU raised the banner last year and Iowa did not. And they got mollywhopped.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, yeah, they beat them, but they got some work to do. So, Zay, who you talking about don't ever leave out the GOAT like that? Who's his GOAT?
Kobe.
Okay, I give him that. He's that age. I give him that.
But
just falling down the list of favorite kids. That's all.
We got nothing but good games coming up Friday, Saturday. Then we got championship on Monday and Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. So, the ladies should be playing Sunday night. If they playing Friday, the championship should be Sunday. Men should play Monday. Because I think the WNBA draft is like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Is it?
Yeah, it's always right after the championship game.
Okay.
So, final thoughts before we get out of here. I got 2 things, but what you got?
Fire away. No, fire away.
Congratulations to Lindsay Harding, the first woman to be named Coach of the Year in the NBA G League. She coaches the Kings. I can't think of the name of it's the Kings organization, but she coaches them in the G League and she won Coach of the Year. So congratulations to her. Second thing, I don't know who this is. I know who it's going to. If you got a little bit of bread in your pocket and you got yourself a Scat Pack, a Hellcat, you got you a 370Z, you got you any kind of car, whether it be a muscle car, souped up, whatever. Drive like you got some sense. Because it's people taking lives and then walking off from crash sites like it's nothing. Having any NFL, NBA, NHL, anybody has, if you have not learned from what happened with Henry Ruggs, you're not paying attention. Because Rashe Rice was just in an accident and walked away from the crash. I don't know if anybody else got hurt, but you caused a 6-car crash in a Lamborghini that you were leasing. Brother, you got to be smarter than that.
The crazy thing is, this is like the disregard for life. Like, you're not checking on these people. And I said that when the whole Henry Ruggs crash happened, if he had just showed a little compassion to go run and check, and yeah, it's your fault, but go run and check and just not sit on the curb and like my life and career is over. You know, just to walk away from something that you caused and not to check to see if people are alive, okay, you know, if somebody, you know, kid was in the back seat or something, it just shows a disregard for human life, and that has to be taken account for when you go to court.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'll say this. If you don't start caring about one another, man, like, you got to show some sort of compassion. It's too much rogue stuff going on and people wanting, you know, they want groups of people to fight each other. Because if they fight each other and cancel each other out, then we can take over. Open your eyes, man. Got to show some sort of compassion. I don't want to get too deep into it, but you got to show some sort of compassion to your fellow man and woman.
I agree.
So, what else you got, brother?
That's it, man. I don't have anything else.
All right. Well, we held down a fort with the Midnight Rider on special assignment tonight. He was in the comments. Thank you to Matty Ice. Of course, Midnight Rider. Xavier, thank you, Xavier. I don't know what this kid thinks he's doing, but we will be back on Thursday. So until then, that's the Boss BJ. I'm the Big Guy KG. We don't do no overtime. We are out of here.
Peace.